And I don't live in the county, so it should be perfect.
You came up while I was commissioned.
Ready, Laura?
Yes.
Tracy?
Ellen Tracy Short?
Yeah.
Okay, from 2000, yeah.
Okay.
So I came in 2008, she came in.
Yes.
And the next year. That's what I was thinking, I thought it was a little.
Ready, want to stand and take the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
John, you might book him up, we'll book you first.
All right. Evening.
Evening.
Really, I'm talking to you guys. Can I sit over here though?
I don't care. Are you scared of us or what?
I'd sit over here.
You want me to sit closer to you? Right in here. Can I sit?
Dad didn't give you my hearing.
May I sit?
Yeah.
The first thing that I have is last year I had spoke with the commissioners to coordinate a time capsule. Dan Frayne of Frayne Mortuary donated a burial vault. It has a special tribute to the state bicentennial, and it was on display during the Torch Fest. It'll be on display again during the fair. I have been busy collecting data from school children across the county about what Indiana is going to look like in 50 years. We've asked other organizations, and so here's my request to the media to help me by getting this out there, that if you have an organization or if you want to put a letter to your kids 50 years from now, just get a hold of me. Appropriate items, things that represent our state, represent our community, our values, and then we're going to, if it's okay with you, sirs, bring it up here and set it in the southeast corner at a small ceremony on Wednesday, July 5th, 11 a.m. at the end of the fair. So it'll be on display in the fairgrounds. People can see it, take pictures with it, whatever, and then bring it up here. Did you get the ordinance? I had an ordinance written so that it wasn't just erroneously placed in the ground without your permission. That ordinance basically states that you'll provide a space in the southeast corner. We'll fill it with data, and it'll be left there for a period of 50 years, at which time it will be unearthed and a ceremony will be held. That's basically the same procedures or similar procedures they've done with the other two time capsules. I don't know if there's any paperwork on them. So that's that. At the time last year, the commissioners and maybe even the council asked me to spend as little money as possible. So instead of buying a new stone or marker or something like that, that would have cost a lot of money, I got the guy that does engraving to engrave the back of the stone that's already here. So I thought that was very frugal or cost effective. And it's going to look very similar, except it's going to say Indiana Bicentennial. You may pass this around if you guys want to see it. You saw it online. I did. I sent a picture to you guys. Yeah. You forwarded it to me. Very good. I'll forward that on down to the commissioners, I guess. And then there's a bill then from that guy for engraving, and then for the vault company to deliver it and open and close the graves. But the vault itself was donated by my dad and I.
We need to approve the ordinance?
No, the commissioner's approval for an ordinance.
Yeah.
It's all a lot cheaper than what the
attached to the ordinance.
Okay.
What the monument guy needs is for you to, you two as the commissioners, to sign it, approving the wording. Because once it's engraved, it's done.
Well, I'll make the motion to approve the time tab, council of John Design.
I'll second that, and then motion second, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
The second thing is, update from, now switching hats, the coroner's office. We found out through the town that it's taking longer than expected for them to make their move into their new police station. It might be something like first of next year before we can actually have an office and a place for us to conduct the coroner's business. Currently, we are doing our very best to utilize the frame mortuary at their great kindnesses. We use the funeral home for now and to conduct our business, and we are utilizing still the basement of the jail. It came to our attention through the official channels of my funeral home insurance and the county insurance that in order for the funeral home to be covered for the work that's being done there as far as liability, that a contract has to be signed. Currently, all the autopsies are being performed at the funeral home. There is no other place that wants us to do autopsies, unless you want to go to Fort Wayne or Indianapolis or South Bend. And both the coroner and I, you know, we don't have a staff to do that, and we don't have the resources to take days off work and travel like that. So your insurance said that if a contract was signed, then we'd be covered. That way, if anybody was to get hurt on the premises, it's the county through the lease and the contract, not us. Our pathologist carries the necessary liability for him to travel, so he's not an issue. But being as that we are often accompanied by a prosecutor, investigator, or detectives or officers from local law enforcement in the county, this would also protect them. Somebody could slip and fall in the prep room. Good.
Good to have. Thank you.
Can I pass that around, I suppose? So that's going to get tabled?
I think we need to have the legal counsel look at it, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I suppose you guys, will you guys have to adopt it at your next meeting then? It has to be done in a meeting?
Kevin, we probably won't get it until the next meeting.
Okay.
Unless we get down the money, look at it before the next meeting.
The sooner the better, so that I have, we have coverage. It'd be awesome.
Was that included in all the stuff that you sent me?
Yes.
I believe that forward.
Yeah, forward.
You can vote on that, that, well, this morning, aren't we from the.
Okay, awesome. That being said, we still significantly lack general things that most county offices have used to. We don't have a computer. We don't have even a tablet to work off of. We don't have a printer. We have a budget, but we don't have an IT person. The person that was IT was trying to help us. I don't have a county email address, which means that, you know, using my personal email address is actually not supposed to be. I'm supposed to have a county email address. The coroner has a county phone. I do not. A county coroner is not supposed to use any of their personal stuff, because in the course of an investigation, should it go to court, everything that's mine could be subpoenaed and kept as evidence. So my personal phone contents, my personal email contents, which I'd really prefer not to have happen. So it'd be nice if we could get, and I know Mr. DeGroote is filling in the interim.
He will help you. I mean, he's been very good at helping anybody.
He's overwhelmed. So we need resources to do our job professionally, for sure.
Do you have a list of all the resources that you need?
I'd be happy to send Laura an email.
If you would, please.
Yeah. Next was a contract. Since Mr. Vaney and I have been with the coroner's office, we can't find any evidence of a medical waste contract that the coroner's office ever had. which is completely perplexing since we generate medical waste, which requires special procedures for disposal. So the funeral home and other funeral homes in this area use a company called Metmoke, and they're the most reasonable priced, and they are willing to use the same rate that they offer us, which is $45 a container. They're going to place a container both at the funeral home where the autopsies take place and in the basement of the jail or wherever the cooler is in the future. Before someone asks, can I like put it in the back of my car and take it from the one place to the other, the answer is no. I don't have anywhere near the right authority to transport medical waste. So there should be containers where the bodies are in the basement of the jail and where the bodies are autopsied that are marked coroner's medical waste. There should also be Sharps containers. So this is, I don't know if Mr. Tankersley needs to review this as well, but this really needs to be done. Currently, the funeral home has been paying for your medical waste. They also offer shred services, so if we ever needed shred services, that they provide that too. I'm not shredding anything. I promised you there's going to be a lot coming down the pike. We are working on our coroner protocol. This packet already exists. It's been a long time since it was updated. We're going through, and it's very tedious, but Mr. Bainey and I, mostly me, is going through, and every situation that we can consider where a coroner's investigation is necessary, we're trying to update the protocol, and then the plan is to get it to the respective entity, the hospitals, the nursing homes, to our EMS. And not that any of these people aren't great to work with already, but it's all about understanding and cooperation. So along with this protocol will be corresponding MOUs, memorandums of understanding, that we will bring to you to review if you need to sign them, that we will enter into with every entity that assists us so that there's flawless and hopefully streamlined work being done when a coroner's case comes up. Oftentimes we run into barriers like, I don't know if I can do that. The county has lots of resources, but not everybody likes to share. So it's just gonna make sure that we can share to get to the end goal, which is to find out cause and manner of death. So those are in the works. Also coming down the pipe, but not yet finished, we are supposed to enter into memorandums of understanding with a organ procurement organization. And in this case, we are working with the Indiana Donor Network for bone, skin, and tissue and organ, and the Vision First, formerly Lions Eye Bank, for cornea. And these people are unique in their existence. So it's taking a little bit longer than expected. Lastly, we expect to have some MOUs drafted with neighboring counties. And this is gonna be probably an end of the year project, so that if we have a mass casualty, being as that Mr. Bainey and I have two people on staff, us, we could call in a neighboring county or counties. They would be cross-deputized and be covered by your insurance while they were working in here, only when they're invited. They're not gonna just show up and start investigating Pulaski County deaths. However, if we have a mass casualty, we would need assistance. We are all we all get trained now and certified as medical legal death investigators, MDI. We're not just coroners anymore, so we need that assistance. So these will be things coming down the line. And we are in agreement that we won't work for another county unless we have a coverage in their county as well. In other words, I go into Stark County to help Mr. Hoffer, they better be covered me, not you. Lastly, is the sheriff here? He's always here. There he is. Hi, Sheriff. We have been graciously, would you say given or transferred the vehicle, donated?
I'd say it's a transfer, John.
Transferred a Dodge Durango, a 2011 Dodge Durango, SUV. Our old van is sitting in the police parking lot, the sheriff's parking lot. Mr. Bainey has the keys, has no plate on it. He'd like to know what he's supposed to do with the van and where to give the keys to. Would you like to keep?
What do you want to do with it?
We no longer have use for it.
Can you get your gurney into the SUV?
Yes, the SUV is perfect. The police removed all police labeling, the sheriff's office did, all sirens and lights, and we have in our budget some money, so we're putting the coroner's name on it and the red lights that we're allowed to run, not red and blues like they are. And the cop fits perfectly all of our equipment. It's perfect. It's exactly what we need. We were given a stack of paper for the DMV, and this is very interesting. We're not really sure. I'm not really sure I started to work on it. It's very complicated. I don't know if Laura's going to look at it. It's very complicated. There's things in there I don't know how to answer. And since the coroner doesn't own the van, we figured it had to come to you because it's the commissioner's van. So I guess we'd like to take the time right now to thank the sheriff as well and his entire office, not only for the vehicle, but we've had a very busy 2017. We've had 20 coroner's calls, which is about four a month, which is about one a week through the 1st of June, which is pretty a pretty alarming amount of calls for a little county like ours. We've had a homicide, two suicides, numerous drug overdoses, two motor vehicle accidents, and an infant death. There's also been several, three or four infants from our county that had died as a result of injuries or accident in other counties. So that there's a lot going on. Only one of those 20 coroner's cases was actually a call where we got called to the house and the person was on hospice care, and it was really a doctor's call. It just got mistakenly directed to us by the family. The other 19 have been in intensive investigations. I don't know if the word is correct or appropriate, but every one of these 19 has been very unique. Several of them have potential for litigation. I do see myself and Mr. Bainey in court in the next few years with several of these cases. You know, there's a possible medical misadventure case that's out there should the family pursue it. So we have been busy. Most of them were autopsied and toxicology done. When there's no clear medical issues, you can't just say they had a heart attack inside a desk. Probably the most alarming thing is the rise in drug use in our county. That's all I have. I'm sorry to end it on a bad note.
You're wanting to transfer to commission over your own van, right?
What?
The commission. You didn't bring your hearing aid either.
I'm deaf too.
We're in trouble. Yeah, the van already belonged to the commissioners, right? What do you want?
That's for the Durango. It belongs to the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
And they removed their plate from it because it's a law enforcement plate.
Right.
We don't get to have law enforcement plates.
You get a municipal plate.
We have a blue municipal plate, which we are.
Jeff, how did Doug do that when he transferred that?
He went to the DMV and transferred it. Kenny, I assume you guys have to do the same.
That's what you would do, is transfer the plate off the coroner's van now onto the Durango.
That's what we did. We did that, but you have, the DMV said that you guys have to sign those papers.
See, the car that Doug Hoover got, it had a sheriff's plate on it. He did transfer it to a municipal plate.
That's what those papers are the DMV gave us. But I didn't think that we could sign for the commissioners.
No, you can't.
Yeah, we're not allowed to sign for the commissioners.
No, I don't know how he done it, because he never wanted any drugs to sign, right?
Well, he
should have. All vehicles are in the commissioner's names other than anything in the sheriff's department.
They already belong to the commissioner, so they're just getting different plates.
Transferring the plates.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have to sign it, all he gets is a plate. Well, he's probably still under a hat.
Mr. Bagley, you and I can go to the DMV next week.
Yes, I would think that if there's any documents that have to be signed, they have to be signed by one of the commissioners.
We didn't sign any for Doug. He did, I seen him here. I followed him. You want this back? You got one. This is one.
I just gave you all my stuff.
I say, Kenny, I think you'd enjoy going to the BMV. I said I think you'd enjoy going to the BMV with John. Just to take care of it. I mean, just look at it.
I guess I can call Doug and ask him how he done it.
All I know is when we went to the B&amp;B, they handed us a staple pack of papers and said, here's how you transfer a law enforcement plate to municipal. And it was like six pages of stuff.
I was noticing that, with the way the coroner's office is changing now, you're evolving it and all, how does the budget look for you guys compared to what, where you're going to be at? Because I mean, it sounds like, a lot of new stuff, and if in the past all that wasn't there, you're going to have to be procuring a number of things, so.
When we put our budget in last year, we increased the autopsy and toxicology. And right now, it could get kind of hairy at the end of the year if this pace keeps up, but it has slowed down this month, thankfully. But yeah, we had an alarming amount of strange, unique cases where we had people die and there was no obvious sign or cause, and autopsy, toxicology, and then we find out there's just all these unique things. And a lot of them are currently in, happening investigations or with the prosecutor's office. So yeah, there's been an awful lot of money spent on autopsy. As far as the facility use goes, it will behoove us to get our own facility.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with that. I just want to make sure that we are thinking ahead of the game to make sure that we have the proper funding.
One of the ways we're saving the county money is by Mr. Bainey and I doing all the work, the office holder and his chief deputy. We could easily go hire four or five deputies and let them run around and do everything, but we're saving money by doing it. Yeah, that's been a huge cost.
Okay, good. No, I just want to make sure that you guys have the funds that you need when it comes time to look at your office and stuff and not.
Well, every year we budget for additional supplies, furniture, and stuff, and then every year you guys get to take it back because we don't have an office. Right. So we tried last year to encumber it, but something happened at the end of the year. It didn't work out, but we were able to purchase new cameras. We didn't have cameras at all to take pictures. We got cameras. So also, Mr. Walters was supposed to be inventorying our stuff. So we would like some advice on how to inventory so that when Mr. Bainey and I are not in this position, that there's a clear inventory of the two digital cameras we have, any equipment you might allow us to have, the cot and the cot tray, which are very expensive pieces of equipment, thousands of dollars of stuff there. It'd be very nice to know how we're to inventory it so that you guys.
No, definitely. Yeah, we need that.
From office to, from one official, elected official to another, like when we change office, we shouldn't just have to start all over with all new equipment.
Right, no, county's not buying you a camera, right?
I can't speak to where the other equipment is. I just know that when I started helping that we had nothing, literally, and we had stuff before. So. Thank you guys, and Mr. Bainey did complete his corner training a couple weeks ago. I will be doing that next year. That's a big class we have to take every couple years to get our hours in, keep ourselves active. And lastly, we have had so many things happen in the last 6 months, 5 months, where we've been with EMS, Pawtucket County Sheriff, Winnemac Police, other police, all the fire departments. And it's been one big learning experience. But we all work together really well. And I think that showed when we put on the mock demonstration at the school. I don't know if any of you guys were aware, but multiple agencies in the county came together to put on a mock drunk driving accident. I think it was student-led. A lot of the police, the sheriff and the policemen did a lot of work, and it was very dramatic and touched a lot of people. May I have my papers back?
Which papers to see?
All of them.
You weren't just giving them out?
No, I was just sharing.
So I hope you have an inventory of what papers you sent around. We probably don't know.
I brought four papers.
I can give you four papers.
From your predecessor, as far as coroner, there wasn't any inventory at all.
No, I'm not aware of an inventory. But when we bought the new cot, the new tray, the new cameras, we were told by Mr. Walters that there would be an inventory system implemented, but we never got to that. We were also told that there was a possibility of getting a computer and a printer and stuff like that, but again, we never got to that. And my email address for town is hotspot.
Make sure you look at that.
Yeah, so inventories, I remember seeing them in the past, and you just, you know, it has the...
Who has that?
Auditor's office had them.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
They have physical inventory sheets.
What it is, when it was purchased, how much it was cost.
Well, that's not so much, we know how to write that down. We want to label this stuff.
It actually has the, it's a state form.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can do easily. But what I wanted to do is also with the election board, we have all these iPads, which if they weren't being used for election stuff, could easily have all resale street value. And RB said he was going to inventory all this stuff, the tags, you know, like when you go to the hospital.
Put like a barcode on it.
Like everything's tagged, so that if it somehow managed to make its way out of the office holder's hands and it was found, you'd know that it's like engraved with Placid County or tagged with a barcode. We just want to protect your guys' investments. We don't have a lot, we just want to protect what we have.
He bought the software to do what John's talking about. The software's here somewhere, RB bought it.
He has the equipment to do it, all the applications.
Yeah. It's all right there, barcodes, when you do your inventory, you just go in through, click in there, it'll live.
Yeah, so I know it works.
They're saying that.
I promise to come with better news.
One of the problems, one main issue.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You guys will be in touch. Thank you.
Bring my hearing aid, will you?
You need one?
Your dad will give you one.
Thank you.
Yeah?
You guys should all have a hotline of the things I'm going to talk about. So let's just go right through it. The first thing on the list, with the commissioner's approval of the contract addendum for the elevator and the council's approval of the $32,000 for the architectural work, site visits planned for the beginning of July, where they'll start the detailed measuring, the drawing process will begin. On here's a rough timeline. July is when the measurements are taken, the drawings are started. The end of September, the drawings and the material lists will be complete, and they're going to open it for the bid process at that time for a November construction timeframe. That's when they're going to start in November. Bear in mind, again, that this is a six-month process. From the time they start construction until the time they end it, you're looking at 6 months. So that's where we are currently with that. Right now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, the elevator doesn't work in the courthouse. The motor burned out, so we're trying to get a new one in here, but there's a four-week lead time. So there's going to be a period of time, well, we're going to have about 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks now without an elevator in here, and then we're going to have a four-month period where we are going to be able to use this one before the construction starts. So that's the update on that. The second thing is the courthouse building repairs. The last time I came before everybody, we discussed the building repairs. I put in there, on the second page in that packet, is the project scope from RC Engineers. They're the ones that's going to handle the building repairs. The cost of that and their fees is $60,000. That's what I'm here for tonight. They'll be able to start that process this year, but the actual repairs won't start taking place until spring of next year. They have a lot of work to do before that starts, but this is to get that moving. And part of this, I just wanted to make everybody aware, I heard him talking about them putting a capsule in the ground in that southeast corner. Bear in mind, when you guys choose where that's going to go, they're going to be digging up 3 feet in on those walls, both directions. So that I just want to make sure that we don't dig anything up we don't want to have to dig up. So, but tonight I want to ask for funding of that process to begin, the building repair process. From both boards.
So what part of this do you need then? We give you the $32,000.
That was for the architects for the elevator.
Architects for the elevator.
The $60,000 is what I'm here now for, to start the process for the building repairs.
And that estimated cost is about $700,000.
Yes.
I know we've got the CDs that are coming up that we're going to be signing on to reinvest or whatever, and that's probably going to be, me and Jay have talked and stuff, I think we agree that that's possibly going to be one of our best avenues to help pay for this.
Commissioner's okay with all this work? Or?
Yeah, we got to build it in.
We got it. Okay. We can do it now. So we can make a motion to give him $60,000. We'll have to find out immediately something in the day when we got in there, and then we decide at that point what we want to do. We need to decide tonight on the CDs, right?
Yes.
You need a motion from us, yeah.
We should have one from you saying you approve to go forward with it, and then one from them saying they'll approve the financing of it.
I'll make a motion to move forward on the $60,000.
I'll second that motion. Motion and second. All signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
I'll make a motion to use the rainy day fund to get this project started.
Can I ask a question first? What's this prepare CDs for $30,000?
That is drawings. What the $60,000 basically covers is they're going to reassess everything because things have changed since February of last year. There's more damage than there was before, so they're going to reassess everything. They're going to handle the bid process. They're going to handle being on site to make sure everything is repaired the way it's supposed to be, using the correct materials, the correct manner of repairs. They're going to basically act as the project manager for the whole thing.
Through the bidding process.
They're going to work with people who specialize in this type of building, and that's the folks they're going to send the bids in that the commissioner is going to review and choose from. It's kind of the same thing that the architects are doing on the elevator side. They're acting like a project manager too. They're going to be putting the bids out there, and I mean, we're going to advertise as well, but they deal with people who specialize in this type of thing. So the bids we get will be the best bids we can get for what we're spending.
So are these CDs like the plans that are on
yes.
the CDs then? That are
yes.
In your digital format.
Yes.
Your drawings.
Yes.
But that's not, they're not just putting them on, they're actually doing the drawing too.
Yes.
That's part of what that work is. I was thinking that too, that it's going to like just convert the best of it. Not the drawing.
No, it's that's, I'm sorry. No, that's it.
Any more discussion? Do we got a motion on the floor? 13 second.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to take the $60,000 out of the rainy day fund to get the project going. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Finally, last year, I think it was the year before also, I came before you and told you that the bottom portion of the annex building is deteriorating and falling apart. You can see it when you drive by it. We attempted to have it repaired once before and it didn't work out. I have a gentleman who's able to fix this correctly. But we were also on the roof of the annex the other day and we saw a lot of damage up there. We counted 50 holes in the roof of the annex building. I'm not necessarily coming tonight to get approval to fix it all. I just want you guys to be aware it has to be done. Eventually, those holes in the roof is going to create damage throughout the rest of the building.
A flat roof, too?
Yes.
And they'll say what kind of, they'll say it's a flat roof, just a flat, like, doesn't have the stone on it or whatever, it just has like a rubber coating or whatever.
It's like a, this is older than that, this is almost like a foam.
It's not leaking currently, but it is.
I think there are spots where it is.
We need to get that taken care of right away.
Here's, and that's the third piece of paper that's in that bundle. We did work with Five Star Roofing on the Justice Center, and they sealed the roof, all the flat roofs on the Justice Center. Because we did that, they're able to do the same type of roof, 20-year warranty roof on the annex as well, for $4,000 less than what they would normally charge somebody. So they're saying $16,000 to redo that roof.
It's almost $5,000, I'd say it's almost $5,000 difference.
So what are you wanting then? You're gonna, this is a quote from them to do the work?
Yes, that's the most, and this is to both groups too. That roof is the most important piece. The bottom portion, the concrete work, we can put that off. I think it's $28,000. We can put that off till next year. The roof, we can put it off.
Yeah.
So.
Two separate contracts.
Yes.
Okay, so you need the.
I'd like to ask your permission to move forward with repair of the annex building.
You gotta fix the roof, because you can't let it go.
No, and the longer it goes, the worse it's gonna get, and the more it's gonna cost, so.
So I'll make a motion to use the discounted price of $16,000. I'll second. Motion second. I would signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Also, that contract owner, that quote says that if a lift is needed, that we would supply it. That's no longer there. I talked him out of that. So if they do need a lift, they're gonna cover the cost for it, and the contract I signed with them will state that.
I mean, you look there, you don't see them, there's dumpsters and everything else. I mean,
that, we'll do the same thing we did at the gym. We will handle the dumpsters and all that.
Yeah, we really don't want to, because I run into that in industry, we don't want to really start providing lifts and things, and then we become liable. And if they use our lift and they get hurt on it, then we're the ones that are under the gun for it and stuff. So they need to provide all equipment necessary. It's not smart of you to throw that at them. Thank you.
Any more discussion on the roof repair? Yes, I'll call it. Contracts, commissioner signed, right? So. For $16,000.
Would you go ahead and fund it?
Okay, we got a motion to fund it.
I'll second the motion.
Got a motion to second to fund the $16,000. If I take that out of rainy day fund too, Laura?
Yeah.
Yes.
All those favors say aye.
All right.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
That's all I have. Thank you very much.
What was the elevator cost again? Was three
for this?
No, for the elevator. What was the cost of that again?
$350. I don't have the papers in front of me.
I'm just trying to add the two together here.
I've got so many numbers planned.
We got some CDs that are going to be new. We need to.
I can run downstairs and get it and bring it back up.
Yeah, we really need. It'd be great if you could, because. We got them CD. We got, because we're pulling this money out of the rainy day, but we can't deplete it and then go. Now
we can't pull the $700 million out of this rainy day fund to do the construction work. So we know where we're at.
Replace that money.
I'll print out that email that I sent everybody with all the numbers listed out.
Yeah.
And that'd be, we understand that's the engineer's estimate. It could be higher or actually lower. You don't know until you get the bids in. But at least we know we have a pretty good benchmark for where we're at. So.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
I'm doing well.
Good.
So,
thank you.
I was back to work about 3 weeks after surgery.
Oh, awesome.
So, right now, pretty much the only time I miss is when I have to go for treatment.
Thank you.
I'm kind of, you guys might hear the same thing next week when I see you too, but we kind of want a little bit of guidance, our department wise, because budget time is here. Okay. So, and today I had a meeting in Indianapolis, and I came up this morning, this afternoon when I got here, and was informed that we had another sinkhole out at our station again. So, I know we've talked about building expansions and all that, and I know, you know, we're probably low priority list, and I understand that, but we need to start looking at ours. And it kind of, like I said, it all kind of plays together on my agenda, because we've been talking about a new truck. Do I put that in my budget that's coming up? Do we get it out of Queen Cap like we had before? Do I spend almost $6,000 to repair our 2009 truck that is pretty much out of rotation? Just little things, because it's budget time, I want to make sure that I've got all my ducks in a row. Most of our trucks, with the least amount of miles.
We're up to 100,000 on our newest truck.
So, what's that one that you're new 900 miles on
there?
Now that one hasn't been used for a couple of years because we've had so many problems with the 6.0 diesel that we've really been using our other trucks. But there's like, I'm going to say 170, 180 thousand on it.
It's up there. And right now we've got leaky head gaskets. So on that one. So I don't want to do
this. Do you have repairs done on that?
No.
They've got a kit for that. I don't know.
We've had
it. For the 6.0 that we talked about for
injectors.
We've put injectors in that truck like 10 times.
It's been awful. We've been in the shop with the injectors quite a few times.
Now, since we've got the Chevys, we haven't had nearly the amount of problems that we've had. But that Ford, they've destroyed that truck, the shops. They've ripped all the insulation out around the motor, so it's loud. I mean, it drives like an iron tank down the road. I can't even explain to you how bad that truck is.
I had a diesel 6.0 and once I got it.
Yeah.
I put the high tensile strength, you know, studs on it, the new injectors, the new PCM, hell, I haven't had any problems with it since.
Yeah. My problem is, I don't think that's the money that we're getting a new truck, because we're going to be trading that one in.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
That's what I'm looking at. I don't want to put the money into it if next year you guys say, nope, you're getting a new truck, because that's the one that's going in. That'll be the trade.
And right now, I need that truck. We don't have a place to put that truck. It's sent outside.
What's the rotation on you? I know we planned on you rotating.
We were talking to go every. Right now. I thought we wanted to talk about every 4 years, which we would be up in 2000 and actually it's 2017, but we can start in 18. But I mean that's
it's
not.
It's a new budget. It's a new budget for new truck this year. We did the budget for the budget last year. Check it out.
Yeah.
The last time we got a new truck was in 2013, and then we got another one in 2013 because of the insurance.
So it's 5 years. It'll be 5 years this year.
It'll be 5 years for next year. It'll be next year. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you just put it in your budget for a new truck and we can go from there.
I wanted to kind of explain some of these pictures to you that we got here of our building. If you look at the one where the truck is actually, or look at the wall, we actually have to back this truck through Nikki's wall in order to get it in the building. And if you look at the next page, you can see where the front is. That's all the room that we have from the front to back. That's how tight that truck is.
Yeah, Kenny and Jerry's both been
out. We have about 2 inches above the truck for our furnace that's above it. And then if there's snow on the ground, I don't know if you guys can see this one here. If there's any snow on the ground, we actually back into the building. We have to
go
back into the door. With that being said, with the new truck being budgeted for next year, we got to have a place to put it. And they don't make the Chevy van chassis anymore, so we're going to have to go with a pickup truck chassis for our new ambulance.
Which are longer and taller.
So we're trying to get ahead of the ball game, so at least we have a place to put that truck. So that's what the quotes are for. I've been talking to the commissioners. That's what the quotes are to add an expansion onto our building of roughly 48 feet wide. Nikki's been off, so I've been kind of heading all this up. It's about 48 by 40 wide is the width, and that'll give us three new bays to put our trucks in, and that'll connect to the existing building. We got quotes from four different companies. I know Morton Buildings, Morton Buildings, that is not a complete project. They're $69,000. All they were doing was putting the frame up, the frame and the concrete. That was it. They didn't want anything else to do with moving electrical or any of that. As the other threes are the FBI, TM Construction, and Formic Corp. That was a complete project to have it completely done. So we've kind of went through them, and we kind of feel like FBI Buildings is probably what you're going to get the best bang for your buck by going through them and getting everything done, and it'll be a complete move-in ready when they're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
FBI Builders.
How many bays we got now?
Right now, one of my stations has two.
Two bays now?
And they are, one faces north and the other one faces west. So you're backing the trucks in.
Yeah, this is how much room we have in between our trucks.
When we came up with, would be three bays facing the west.
No, facing the east.
East, sorry.
No bays facing north.
Sorry.
Because we always have problems with drifting snow in that north bay.
Three facing this.
So just ignore this part where you said you haven't heard back from them.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yep, that was, yep.
Just out of curiosity, what is the hospital using the former garage or the building that the ambulance is used to be housed in? What are they using that for now?
I want to say that's all maintenance.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the maintenance department.
Yeah.
Is that, I believe so.
Okay.
So they want, I'm sorry, Alex, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just wondering, because if they had space available, if we're assisting the hospital in different situations, and we needed at least, and I hate to split it up, but if we needed at least housing temporarily.
And that's just,
yes.
If we keep putting this project off, and they try and build, you know, do a building in the middle of winter, our trucks can't sit outside. I mean, we have thousands and thousands of dollars of medications on there that can't. They can't sit outside.
Yeah, that's
and we have to pull everything off of this truck. So this truck is completely out of service unless we can throw everything onto it real quick and take it. So we can't even use that truck sitting outside. And I would hate to have, you know, when they're building on, if they're doing an addition on their station, I'd hate to have three trucks sitting outside.
Running, you know, because we have to have at least one available.
Jay, is there a way that we can find out if there's anything available?
Around the city and the town? Yeah, we can.
At least like, or Linda, if there's at least a space available for like at least one truck?
The only problem is we have to make sure that the building,
right.
The hospital,
mm-hmm.
because we may be able to get the old truck, the Ford in, but I know the one that we have now will not fit.
Okay.
It's too long. But, you know, we would have to, if that's a solution, then we'll have to finagle that around and see.
I guess one of my things on the project is we've always had water issues down there at the building and all, so now we're going to add on. This is already going to bring it up to get us out where that will be all, you know, we're not going to have more building in another low hole and end up with the same problem in another end of the building.
Well, I'm thinking the hole that we got this time, Jeff, I think he might look at it, but where our gutters connect into, because the only thing we've had in the last week is that rain the other night. And but when they came in and put our troughs in, that is really, we haven't had any water issues at all.
Okay.
But this one is up closer to the building, so we're thinking maybe the rainwater from the gutters.
I just know back from my 4-year stay,
right.
We had nothing but issues out there.
Once they put the front drain in by Connie's door.
Yeah.
And then the main trough in the ambulance bay. I have brain presentation. Sorry.
That's a technical word. We got it.
We haven't had flooding into the station like we used to.
Then what's the thoughts and plans of the old bay and stuff that's in there?
That's gonna stay there, and then they're gonna.
Wash bay.
Yeah.
The trough is right there.
Yeah.
So all the drugs that needs sprayed off will be right there, and then the other two. And then behind where that one bay is now would be a couple bedrooms, storage, because if you've been out there, Tommy, and we've been out there, we don't have storage. We thought we'd leave our supplies out there, so people don't have to walk through the other two bedrooms to get supplies.
And that's all included. That, and when we did the quotes, we did everything in there.
That's what I'm gonna say. So yeah. any remodeling or any changes that are gonna be done to the existing structure is part of the.
Yes.
There's, so we're not gonna all of a sudden go, oh, well, we got this done, but here's another $50,000 we need.
Right. So how many bays do you need?
This should be plenty, because we'll have four. We're getting three new ones, and then we'll have the fourth one. So we'll have four bays.
And you've got two bays now.
Yeah.
You use one bay for a wash bay. Wash.
And then two.
And then we'll have our three.
And then you'll have your other bay that you have now. So you've got two bays.
Well, the one that we have now would be more storage. You'd add two bays side by side. So that would put three in one bay.
You've got three bays that you're adding on.
Yes. Yep. Three bays we're adding on and just keeping this there, because they're opening up this whole wall to make it one big open garage. And then we'll have our current garage door. Because I got them, they could just widen the one. But they said by the time you get to moving 4x4 post and stuff, that it's not going to be cost efficient to move a door. So they said just leave the one door there, add three new bays on.
Are you going to have problems getting, you know, you said you got about much clearance getting in and out of that door.
There's
you use
the wider door.
Yes. Yeah, but what about the height? They're going to raise the headroom and all?
The height on our east door is correct. The height on the door that faces the north. Is the one we have problems with.
And that's the one you'll be doing away with. You'll be doing away with the north bay. You're only going to keep the...
Right.
All the bays will be on the east side of the building, the big bays.
Yep. And all the doors will be proper.
So you're used to adding three bays. That's a lot of money for three bays. What else are they doing there?
They're actually only adding...
They're doing the electrical. They're doing the insulation. They're putting the metal inside the building, the concrete, and the trough. And I mean, that's...
So you're going to have four bays total, so they are adding three new bays.
Yes.
Three new bays.
The garage station?
Yeah.
That's garage doors.
According to what the picture shows is...
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
What's your estimate for site work? Bring it up to grade and all that. Have you had any of that done yet?
The only thing that they had to bring in was the gravel. And that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what county highway could probably bring the gravel in?
That's what they did to fill the holes that we had now.
Yeah.
How high, what's higher are you going to make this building? That's low there, they go, or get higher as you go that way.
No.
What do we got? Is this, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They would bring you, they would level it. Let me go back to Kenny, when you guys went out there, is this kind of what you had in mind when you guys went out and were looking at?
Well, when I went out there, you know, she showed me where that back end of the wall and stuff. I thought they were just wanting three extra bays. You know, the park, but you want that insulated and stuff? I didn't know.
Well, it can't be, it's got to have some type of insulation on it because
you got to keep it heated.
Because you got to keep it heated. I mean, you don't want your heat just to go out the door.
Does this include upgrading the heating system and stuff to be able to handle all the bays?
There's a couple.
A couple of the quotes put in a whole new furnace, which I think TMN Construction, they put in a whole new furnace system for the building in their quote. I want to say Format Corp also had.
So FBI's then, you know, stop. We'll have
FBI to look, said what the heater that we have out there will be sufficient enough to heat the whole building.
Okay.
With their insulation and everything. So they said we wouldn't need anything with that.
On the inside of the building, is it just open?
Open except that back wall they're going to put the storage rooms in. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be pretty well open.
They're putting rooms in the back.
The storage room and the place for our oxygen tanks and stuff like that.
What, we need two more bedrooms and everything?
That's what I was going to ask.
Well, we were doing that because We've had times where county highway has to come out in the winter and stay there with us in the middle of the night because we don't have anybody to plow the roads. So they've stayed there before, and we've had to put them up on, just put them in a cot. You know, so.
But why we're doing it, if we get to the point where we want that third truck that we have now to be a 24-hour truck, I mean, it's running 24 now, but it's only 12-hour shift.
Right.
So, while you were in the midst of all this, we thought, okay, if we've got the room, if we get that major snowstorm where the guys don't have to sleep on their truck or sleep on a cot, we've got the extra beds and stuff that we could throw in there, close it, and use it if needed. If we had to pull the staff over because of that, we had a mass casualty where somebody had to go and sleep, you know.
How many trucks, we have two trucks in Winnemac and one truck in Francisville that's on the road all the time?
Yes.
Well, we have one truck right now in Winnemac that's on 24/7. Right. Francisville's 24/7. We have a second truck in Winnemac that is kind of hit and miss. It's all based on part-time personnel. So like today, we did not have that truck.
And that's the truck that you want to make?
We would eventually, yes,
like to have.
Because I've got another issue too that I'm going to talk about. But because sometimes, especially now when we do not have another ambulance service here in town, well, I might as well just jump into it. We increased the wages a couple years ago, which is great. We are, to an extent, retaining staff, but we're not pulling any new medics in. All my medics, I'm sorry, but I'm off the truck until we get them next year. That put me out of the loop. When Kyle has vacation, trying to get a medic to fill in, maybe you might get a part-time medic. If not, you may have to use your part-time medic, which throws your overtime budget out the window. There's been a couple of instances where we've been down to one medic in the county because we could not find someone to fill that second spot on the truck, whatever, the truck. As my bosses, I want to know how you feel about pulling our only medic out of the county. A couple years ago, it wasn't bad because you had intermediates get to do almost the same as a medic. Now, they have limited the scope where if somebody has a cardiac arrest, all it is CPR. They cannot do any medications, they cannot intubate, they cannot do anything other than transport. So in that situation, you're taking a step back if you pull that medic out of town. And we run into that situation where the hospital wants on medic, the only medic in the county, to transfer to Indianapolis. So as guidance, I want to know if you want me to say yes, we're going to do that, or no, you want at least the medic to stay in the county.
But it's not really that cut and dry, because if the council remembers, I was trying to hold off on the whole matrix thing, because I can't speak for them, but I'm going to go out on a limb and speak for the council that they probably won't approve a matrix the way you want it presented, because we're not running that third truck like we said we were going to. It was just a year ago, right, that we did the increases. It wasn't 20 years.
Is when it went.
End of 2015.
May of 2015 is when the crew got the raises.
Okay. So we're not running that third truck. We're not retaining people. We're actually losing people. And we had mentioned that if it was the wages that would get them here.
And we have staff. We just lost a person of 9 years because they went to the state for less money.
But
they went to the state for less money.
That's what I'm saying. So
yeah, why did they do that?
Because they got them off the 24-hour shift, to an extent, more home time, they can work from home.
But it had nothing to do with us giving more money.
No, but one of the things, if you guys remember, was to come up with longevity.
Right.
We have yet to find anything with longevity.
We actually didn't talk about the EMS part of longevity. We went ahead and got raises to meet that standard right away to be competitive with the other counties. That
exactly.
Was like immediate.
But,
and bottom, I pushed for that immediately.
But at the bottom, it says to come up with training opportunities, longevity, and
well, promote longevity, because we wanted to at least recruit, retain.
Well, the person that just left after 9 years.
Yeah, but if they left because they didn't like the hours, longevity pay would, I mean, not that I'm against longevity pay, but it would have made no difference because they left because of, sounds like to me, of a family need or whatever, they needed a change in hours. I've lived that life, so I know what that is.
And I'm not knocking that, but right now you're looking at, Kyle and I are putting in our 10th year next year. The only reason I'm staying, the only reason I'm staying right now is because this job fits my schedule, my home schedule. It's not for the money. I mean, I'm being very honest. Very honest. We were excluded completely in that. I was okay with that. My problem is I need help trying to keep people. And I understand the wages. We do have it a little cushy, but after 10 years, we're fully invested. I can go elsewhere.
I'll say this for Nikki. She does. I make more than she does. She deserves a whole lot more than me for the stuff she has to deal with.
Just when this was brought up initially,
yeah.
She was kind enough and said, I'll hold
yeah.
off
oh,
on
I know
myself.
She was. I know she was.
So again, I would just like to say, because I see both sides of it.
Yeah.
I see the hospital side, and I see the council and county side. So,
but I mean, I think what Nikki was asking, like she, you know, do we get, okay, so if you're in, you know, if you're in the county, you know, and we have this 911 call and our medic's in Indianapolis, all you're getting is CPR, you're not getting medications and all that.
I think that's the stupidest thing ever.
You know,
I would not send somebody down there to take somebody. You want to keep the people here.
I agree.
And that's what, and that, we agree with that.
Oh, yeah, so if you had a family member come into the hospital and they go into, they need a higher level of care and we're going to transfer them out, which I can bring you numbers and the numbers are staggering. As far as how many other services we're using, and you guys know.
No, I know.
How many other services we're using because we don't have the staff to staff those three trucks.
Right. And
so losing money for the county because
are we going to make enough? I mean, if we're going to do a third truck, and you know, and this probably actually falls more into the commissioner's line of thinking than it does the council's. Ours is the budget.
You got a truck.
If you're going to do a third truck, then is the outside sourcing going to pay for that third truck?
Well, that's why we've been picking up transfers. That when we call, okay, we call PMH first. PMH is our first call. We call PMH and we say, hey. You know, do you guys have anything going out? And we pick up transfers from Stark and Jasper and White and Logan. And we pick up all these extra transfers in order to try and bring that in. However, when we bill Medicare and Medicaid to bring that money back in, we may go do a BLS trip and make $100 on it. So therefore, no, it's not making us any money. You know, it's actually costing us to go do that, but we're trying to keep our crews busy. So that's where we got to come with the fine line to make sure that we're profiting the county by using the third truck, but then where do you draw the line where we use the third truck just for PMH so they have their transfers taken care of?
Our priority is Pulaski County.
As I'm saying, we're a county EMS. We're not here to be in business.
If we do not have that third truck staff, we do not take out of county transfers.
Right, we do not. Yes, absolutely.
But so the other night. So if your thing is to make, you know, to make money and do all of that, we have the other companies that we've been calling have plenty of staff to take those transfers. We were trying to keep it within Pulaski County by they're saying they call us first. We also called them
first.
Usually
run into the situation and where we're sitting there for 6-8 hours.
Well,
waiting on them, which I understand.
And you asked us too. You asked us, do you guys have anybody in there? At the time we get the call, no, we're good. And then 5 minutes later, everybody knows how that works.
So what are you asking for exactly?
Our main question is do you want to send our only paramedic out of the county and leave a BLS truck in this county?
Because the other day they had.
Sorry, guys. That's not a financial board thing.
No, that's a commission.
You're asking is not a financial board thing.
That's why we wanted to ask everybody.
But I wanted to bring it as the governing bodies for our department because I have had an issue with this before. That's why I came to the joint to bring it up.
So everybody has to say so.
You guys do the financial?
Right.
They are policy. If you both say, which you guys say you don't have anything, but I want you to be made aware of it, because if I say we are no longer going to pull our medic out of the county, you might get some backlash, and I wanted you guys
to. Who will give us the backlash?
The hospital. They're giving us backlash.
Hold on a minute, which actually it has happened because you revised the policy, and did you guys see that? The transfer policy. But it still says in there, because what they'll do is, like the other day, they put emergent, which our policy right now says emergent transfers go. We take emergent transfers. They took our medic to Indianapolis for an MRI. I want to revise my policy that says the medic, if there's only one medic in the county, it does not leave this county, period.
Well, that makes common sense to me.
I know, Mike, but I wanted to make sure that everybody's on the same page, because you will get backlash. I don't care.
I'm going to get backlash.
I know, but...
We have to look after the county. We have to look after.
Well, and I brought
there's
that
no
up.
Medic in the county.
You
have a
burden.
Then they were waiting 2.5 hours, and we're getting called again because we're not.
And if not, then we'll go with other companies.
That's
from
something
the
that you want to go with another medic. I mean, that's something. We try to accommodate the hospital.
There are some times when we can't, and then we're feeling the heat. We're feeling the heat. So I wanted everyone to know that this is what we're facing, and this is what I want guidance on, and you tell me this is, you agree with me.
It's part of what you're saying is that you guys are actually then shorthanded on having enough medics.
We're getting short medics. Yes.
Yeah, so
it's not just
you're going
us,
not
it's
you're not
the account. Whole state.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the whole state is running into a medic shortage. We're taking medics, and we're pushing them through classes, and then they're using EMS very briefly as a stepping stone to nursing, to radiology, to wherever.
Right, and right now, if we only have 2 medic trucks and the hospital calls for a transfer,
we're down to one
truck, and that truck goes and sits at 700 West and
right.
700 West and 14 for 4 or 5 hours. I mean,
but
it's
we're
just
not
the way
bringing
it is.
In a lot of the part-time spots are being filled with medics.
Right.
So that puts us down to, if we have that third truck, it might be 2 basics.
Have we run into problems where we've had the medic out of the county? And we've been in a situation where, oh my God, what do we do now?
Not yet.
Well, that's what I'm at, yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, just to determine whether it's a reality or a fear.
Now, what are you on call then if you're off duty and somebody has a situation? So,
no.
So technically, we should probably get another medic on staff anyway, because you need one 24/7, I would think.
And that's where, if you guys want to hire more full-time medics, I mean, that's where you can put. I'm telling you, we can hire full-time medics probably all day long, but part-time, we can't get them.
Because they're coming down. You know, they're have full-time jobs elsewhere.
And that's right. Yeah,
but right. It's not consistent. You know,
well, I guess that kind of goes back to my thing of the third truck thing. If you're running the third, you know, I mean, looking at the different options of being able to help, you know, the hospital out, and, you know, like I said, I mean, we're not here to be in business.
It's not helping the hospital, it's helping the community.
Well, right. But through the whole thing it is.
Right.
You know, then do we need to, you know, look at, if we had full-time medics on staff, would we have enough outside service to be able to offset the cost, or are we just increasing the cost and we're still not, you know, we got people just
you're
sitting around now.
Probably increasing the cost.
We need to supply the service. That's the thing, in my opinion. We need to supply the service.
You're going to have an increase, unfortunately, because you can't guarantee. I mean, we could have no transfers one day and end up with 5 the next. I mean, you can't. But then it's
but
the
you
same
can,
thing as
you can look at one. You can look at the, you know, what your history has been over the past years and get a bit of a feel for, okay, and you've been doing this long enough, you know what the calls are that we're losing also because we don't have them here. You can get a feel for, I mean, that's how you do projections in industry, you're in business.
Right.
You look at
you
your
know,
data that's there.
We're averaging probably 20, 25 transfers a month, and we're probably turning down 10 ALS ones.
because the staff, the truck's out, no truck available, whatever.
How much more is it going to cost to get a, I mean, that's what you're getting at, the money part.
Well, right now, my answer is, do you want to, as my bosses, I can go to the hospital next week. Yes, next Tuesday, I have an ED meeting. Say, effective now, our medic, we're down to one medic in the county because we had a call off, somebody's on vacation, we can get that second truck staffed with a medic. We do not take transfers.
Well, you can't take a transfer. They're requiring a medic and your medic's busy doing something else, you can't take a transfer.
But I had some backlash. I honestly.
You can't.
Aren't you looking at it more though? If your medic's on staff and he's sitting at the shop and you don't have a call, and then you turn down a call, I mean, if he's out on a call, of course he's not going to leave. He's on a call. But, and that's where you get the backlash from is, hey, wait a minute, your guy's sitting there doing nothing and, you know, we got work, you know.
Right. No, I can understand that. And that puts you in a dilemma, especially if you need a medic in the vehicle and you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
If that hasn't occurred yet, I mean, it's nothing.
I don't want it to.
No, we don't want to either. We don't want
to. So, as I said.
What's the difference in pay scale? But, I mean, you can.
The pay is the same. The pay is the same hourly. It's the overtime that everybody looks at.
So if you look for a medic instead of just a regular EMS qualified individual, then you get two of them on staff, that would help resolve the problem, right? We don't have to increase the staff. You just have to get a man that's qualified differently. Or maybe someone on your staff.
We can't do that because of the Obamacare. We can only work them 28 hours a week.
All that time be going away anyway. That's going to be gone.
Part-time, you know, and that's another thing. You know, if we have a call off, that part-time medic pulls up and it picks up that 911 shift. They were already scheduled 2 days later for a 12-hour.
You got to cut off.
Well, we're not talking part-time anyway. We're talking full-time.
No, but you were saying like we could fill, like we would have to add a full-time spot on in order to fill that.
To keep
add a full-time medic, but he could replace an EMS individual. And maybe one of your individuals that are there now could get qualified as a medic instead of seeing an EMS. I don't know what all entailed in that, but I don't know that. I mean, I guess my suggestion would be that, and the commissioner, I mean, everybody has to agree, but my suggestion would be that we don't let the medic go out of town because we need one here in the county. We need one in the county at all times.
I agree.
Okay, so transfers that require a medic would be no right now. I would suggest getting another medic on staff, and you need to hire somebody, you said anyway, look at replacing him or her with a medic.
We went ahead and hired
and pursue it. Well, okay, but see if someone could get trained as a medic. Could be interested in doing that. Pay increase. You get more money for being, you know.
So at the hospital, and
the full-time individual, then you would have two medics, and you could now solve the problem.
A couple years ago.
Well, we have two medics on every shift right now.
I thought you said you only had one medic.
No, we have two medics on every shift. If somebody takes vacation,
we will be
all one. Yeah. All right. I didn't realize.
I was confused too.
Right. No, that's the thing.
Well, I would say then in the instance where there's only one medic in the county and the other one's on vacation or whatever, that's your take on it?
But like I said, I wanted to make sure it was in the minutes because if anything comes back, you guys are all aware of it and we're all in agreement.
I want Linda's opinion because she's working with a nurse. She's very important.
Well, we have a progressive care unit. It's like an intensive care unit. We can't just close it because we don't have staff available. So we have available staff. We have trained enough staff. We can't just close it because we have to have it available. It's not fair to the community not to have something like that available. So I guess I would, you know, before we, you've already changed the policy, which the hospital has a copy of, but that doesn't have to go through the commissioners for change of policy?
Fire department policies?
So it sounds like we need three medics on staff. So we have one.
No, I'm just. I'm
right, exactly.
At all times.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, two of them.
Especially if we're going to run a third truck, which has been talked about. When that was in the paper a while back, that wasn't anything new. We talked about that 2 years ago when we.
We are getting staff.
And I saw the paper that it was like a new.
It's basic staff. We're not getting medics.
Right. But again,
but the hospital does have an option of going with another ambulance service.
I'll bring numbers, I was holding off on it, but I'll bring numbers if you guys want me to, that'll actually show the number of transfers that have been denied, and then all the places we use, because we've kept that.
I think that'd be, I'd appreciate that, yes.
Yeah, and I would like to.
We have to keep track of that anyway, who we send people with, so we have to put that in our information.
And like I said, we do everything we possibly can for the hospital.
Do you need, I don't know, do we need to make that, you got an ordinance in place now, is there a change in what you made?
I just have a department.
Just have a direction?
You said you changed some stuff in your policy, is that policy in the handbook? I mean, should that went before the personnel committee to change it?
No.
You got your own policy?
We have our own policies.
So, but who oversees that?
Well, that's what I want to know, the policy committee should be over that.
Not necessarily, the policy, well, I mean, it's.
They can change policy, do anything they want.
No, it should come through you.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it should go through the personnel policy committee.
Not if it's a business policy. I mean, I don't know how this would be different than the personnel. Yeah, how they take care of their business would not be personnel, that would be business. I mean, I would.
Well, they're changing it for their, what they say their medic's going to do, I mean, that would be under, that should be under the policy book.
We've never been represented on personnel committee at all.
So you've got your own.
And the only thing that I changed was we put in severe policy for severe weather, that we have the right to stay within the county, we do not take any outside transfers, we shut down until conditions are better. Definition of emergent, which we would like to have the helicopter fly in that situation. I have not changed it where it says that they will turn down if there was one medic in the county yet. That's what I'm asking.
I thought we got the new copies the other day.
I have not, we have not touched the personnel or the transfer policy since last year, I believe.
How I said what she got them.
Now, you said you train these people, do you send them trained to be a medic?
No.
You gotta be qualified before that.
It's actually a college degree to become a paramedic.
It is now moving toward college degree.
Because you talk about people leaving after you get sent into training, that ain't right for us to pay for the training, and they don't.
No.
We can't, you have to pay them for the training.
We do not hire anybody who is not already certified at whatever level.
I know you talked about training them when they were leaving, that's what I was.
But, like, training, like, on our equipment, our personnel, you know, the software for the fingerprints and, you know, payroll and all that, and then up and down.
I think we need to look at getting another medic and get three of them on staff. When you need another replacement individual, I would look at getting another medic on staff, that would be my suggestion.
And if you get another medic, it has to be scheduled in such.
Schedule and such, that right there, be somebody available, two people available, you know.
So if we have a full-time basic wait, you would like a full-time medic, is what you're saying?
I think, that's my opinion, because I personally think we need a medic available for Pulaski County at all times in case a need arises. That's my take. And if someone goes out of town or out of county with a transfer and they need a medic, that's fine, but there needs to be a medic. That's what you're here for. You're here to serve the county.
But I just want to remind you, when you're talking about the transfers, you're acting like these are people that come out of nowhere. There are people from Pulaski County that have come to the hospital.
That's not an emergency situation.
Most of them are emergency situations.
Most of them are emergency situations.
Some are, some aren't. Some aren't. Like I said, the other night, they marked it emergent.
I will check into that, because again, it's been said that we change what the doctors write. We did not change, we can't change what the doctors write.
The doctor wrote emergent for an MRI.
And again, in his opinion, or maybe he talked to a specialist at another facility that said, you gotta get this person, get an MRI immediately. Unfortunately, because we also have a problem with our equipment. And didn't have the.
You should track down to Methodist for an MRI when there's other agencies.
But did that person stay there in Methodist then?
No, they were discharged.
I'll look into it.
Well, what's the council's feeling then on pursuing another medic. Next time you need to have an opening, pursue a medic. Would it cost a little more for your salary? Mm-hmm. What's the council's, commissioner and council's feeling on that? That she should just pursue having three medics on staff? You think that would solve the problem? It would cost a little bit more, but I think it's well worth it.
How often are you, I mean, how often does that actually fall into play where you have only one in the county?
It's going to start increasing. I have a feeling.
Our transfer numbers are high. I mean, I'll bring you the information.
Well, that's the thing. I'd like to see some more of that.
And it's in there too, the transfers.
But it's not big. It's only, you know, I'm going to say at the most, maybe four or five times a month that we only have one medic. It's only if people take vacation or call off. I mean, other than that, we have two paramedics on pretty much every day.
That's what I wondered. That's
so.
No,
it doesn't happen.
So I don't want to make it sound like that every, you know, every
it
week.
It doesn't happen.
Every week we're not
right.
One paramedic. It's,
right.
It's,
but it does. Not, it does happen.
But it's happening, and unfortunately, we've got people that build up vacation and they want to take it, and then somebody calls off, and then we're scrambling around trying to find somebody to fill that spot.
So your PRNs are not typically medics?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have some.
We have some.
Because that's what we do. We fill our spots with all the PRNs, especially for vacations.
Yes.
And then
we ask for availability. If there's a medic on, we'll schedule it. If there's not.
And that's something we can look into is, you know, upping the part-time wage to recruit people, you know, to recruit more medics. Because 15 an hour is great for full-time because we get a little bit of overtime. 15 for a paramedic part-time, they're just looking, that's not that great a pay. So, I mean, that's also something you could consider.
Well, we can look at that.
Yeah.
I think you want a direction on two things. I definitely want to sleep on the building right now.
I got a question for the building before we get up. You said you had one ambulance. Stay 24/7 over Madera, Francisville?
Yes.
Correct.
All right. How many trucks total you got?
Four.
We have four.
So we need four bays, and you got one truck stays over there all the time?
In Francisville, yes.
So why do we need
four bays? No. We only need three bays.
Three bays and
three
one
bays and one
in
Mac.
Francisville.
One in Francisville.
We got one in Francisville.
The one is already existing.
All right. Then you just need three bays here.
Yes.
You got one, so you need an additional two.
Yes. Additional two.
Yes.
Okay, you and I talked about you. We just want to sit down one day and draw something up.
Right.
I think
right.
Maybe we better.
We can do that. Yeah, we'll do that. We can sit down if that's okay with everybody, and we can bring what we decide back and let everybody vote on it or digest it or whatever. So.
But these quotes here to me sound kind of high.
It's very high for well, no more than what we need is three bays.
You know, I built a 60 by 120 pole building to the 40 by 60 shop at 61,000 or 68,000 with it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you guys have better connections and can get better deals, hey, I say go for it. Save the county money, but
I don't know if they have better deals or better connections. I just think we maybe need to scale it down just a little bit.
Yeah, and that's fine.
I don't disagree with the asphalt. Personally, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
we need to get it.
And that was only one of the quotes.
And you need to have access to your emergency vehicles. You don't want to have to, the gravel get wet, you have a rain situation, a bad storm,
yeah,
or
roads,
flood.
Yeah.
But that's okay, we need to keep moving on.
Yeah.
But no, that's fine. So we need to sleep on that and then we'll talk about it. But I would personally think.
I'd say just remember though, when you guys work on that, next year, we're at the end of the year, we're probably going to have a new truck and nowhere to put it.
Right, you need more room.
So
you have the doors lot widened and let
well, that's what they were saying. They
we'll get one.
Okay.
Okay.
The joint session.
It's just for information right now. She's being forced to give her a little direction.
It is, although I need approval from the joint session.
Well, the other business we got is approved the minutes from the last joint meeting. You guys all had a chance to read that. I'll make a motion we approve the minutes from the April 2017 joint meeting.
I'll second the motion.
Got a motion to second, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, I second it.
You got anything else before we?
You and I'll get together on the building and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, because I think we can scale that down. I mean, I went and looked at it. When I looked at it, I thought it'd be a piece of cake just to add on to that. I think it's getting a little more elaborate.
And the asphalt, we didn't talk about that, but I agree with that. They had it on here. I think that'd be a good idea. That's going to cost a big cost.
What's that guy looking out the window for? I think that guy needs a deal on that.
Get a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I made a motion to adjourn.
Got a motion to say to adjourn, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we adjourn. I'm going to go ahead and call to order the council meeting for June 12th, 2017. And first on the agenda is Jackie Crane.
Jay, can you give me about Jay?
Yeah, we'll hold on just a second. Can you hold on just a second, Jay?
It's all the popular people.
I so beg it. All right, did somebody explain?
Yeah.
Tom motion?
Yeah, Tom. Miss Powers.
Yeah. And who's Stephanie?
Linda.
You know when you're ready, Laura.
Okay, give me a couple minutes here.
Yeah, we're fine.